Welcome back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are celebrating the holidays, the Christmas holidays this week, and we're taking a little respite from the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We'll get back after it in the beginning of the year. We're going to be at Nacho Mama's, amongst other places, but you can catch our shows from Costas and Conrad's and all the places we've been, Pappas, in the last couple of weeks. I'll be replaying some of that at AM 1570 and trying to wash away the holiday pain of three consecutive losses. Fire the coach, bench the quarterback. We already benched the one quarterback, the other quarterback, whatever it is. This guy comes at it honest. He is a Ravens fan, but more than that, he has saved my life on more than one occasion this year in regard to my desk and my workspace and the chair that I rarely use but is getting much more comfortable. He is not the reason for my back pain. He is the reason that I have stood back up. David Knoll joins us here, and you know, when I ask your last name when I didn't know you, it's N-O-E-L, and I actually dated a girl named Noel, and it's Christmas week, so when you have a last name like Knoll or Noel, and it can be mispronounced, Christmas is sort of a glorious time, so happy holidays to you. Dave, what's going on, man? How you been?
Good morning. Glad to be here. Thanks for the intro. Having a great time and enjoying the holidays, and getting ready to wrap up a year and get into another one. So, but recovering from another tough Sunday.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're all sort of licking our purple wounds here at this point and wondering what's going to become of the season and what's going to become of Lamar. Every time I get together with you, though, we talk business and we've gotten to know each other through the city and through what you do at MOI, which, of course, is take care of office space and stuff. Last time I got together with you, times were tough for everyone. We were all social distanced. I got a desk from you last winter that I was having back pain. I didn't know it was going to lead to L4 and L5 pain and herniations and spinal needles and all that. And I haven't even gotten together with you socially, not even online to say hello, but you followed my back pain through all of this. Give me the current state of people going back to work in offices, because I had an unfortunate situation on a Monday morning. I had to go out to my radio station on Monday morning after the Ravens lost, and I actually drove back into the city at 8 a.m., and I noticed there's traffic. People go back to work now. People are parking cars. People are going back to offices. You've had a pretty busy year, haven't you?
We've been lucky. We've had a lot going on. Traffic definitely picked up starting probably around September. I think everybody had thoughts about going back to the office, and then people were starting to make plans. They couldn't quite figure out how they should change the office or if they could do it in another way. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, next bomb drops, and now we have Omicron, and everybody's sitting there kind of putting things on hold and trying to reassess. So I'm not quite sure there's a solid answer when, while the traffic definitely has increased, I'm in and out of office buildings in four cities on a regular basis, and I can tell you there's not much going on inside most buildings on a regular basis. So I'm not quite sure. I think people are out and about, but either they've gotten used to working remotely or they're still trying to deal with exactly what's going to happen with this virus. And it's certainly gotten worse in the last couple of weeks.
Well, you're a guy that processes this stuff and one of the deeper thinkers, and you talk to a lot of C-level people and people that run businesses in big spaces at MOI. And for what we've learned over, I guess, 21 months now going on through this thing, certainly something that the country wasn't prepared for, business wasn't prepared for. That being said, stock market's doing okay. Business is up. Inflation's not good, but real. The supply chain issues beyond Christmas and making sure you get your toys for your kids and your PlayStation or whatever, these are all real issues through all of this. But I think social change, and I don't mean woke or Black Lives Matter, even politically, I mean structural cultural change about where we spend our space, how business is conducted. This has been a disruptor of like a 9/11, maybe disrupted politics and disrupted security in our country. The plague has disrupted virtually everything about the way we live, but certainly it's disrupted the way we work for sure.
Yeah, it's working from home. We've now demonstrated through technology and changes and skill sets, people can get stuff done from almost anywhere. And so people want the flexibility in their personal lives. They don't want to have to be stuck in those commutes. They like being able to see their kids or whatever it may be in their own situation. So it's really tough. And, you know, the one thing I've said and I continue to state is two things. One, in the middle of a crisis, and maybe we're not in the middle of it anymore, but we're still in
who knows?
Yeah, who knows? things overreact. I think everything, the pendulum always swings a little bit too far. And over time, I think it begins to come back to center, whatever that center may be. It may not be the center that existed pre-COVID, but I think in time, people will understand when it's safe or when we learn that we have to deal with variations of this and injections or whatever it may be. There's a place for working at home, and there are things that the office does that build culture and allow for training and handoff of knowledge. And I think you'll see some changes in design in time, but I think the importance of office and the connection of people is still important to drive business. And it may not be where it was in 2019, but I'm pretty sure, when I get together and I was going to events and, you know, networking and everything else, most people felt like it was great to actually get out. So there's a human connection thing that is missed. This screen, you know, it's great to see you across the screen. It's a whole different experience if you're sitting in, you know, right in front of you. And I'm not saying you're going to change your business model, but for us, it's the same thing. It's very hard to present. We're presenting across Zoom, and I can't see faces. I can't read body language. I'm doing, you know, every 6 weeks a company town hall, and I'm looking into a camera, and I'm trying to gauge if what I'm saying is actually resonating. I'm now going to bring on the technological tools like surveys to try to see what is going through people's minds.
Well, that's every teacher in the world, right? Has had to do that with 9-year-old children on a tablet, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. And it can be done. I mean, we've been doing it, but is it as effective? Quite honestly, is it as fun for me? I'd much rather be presenting live than across a screen. So,
well, I think we all go back to like the 60s and 70s where business was, hey, I'll call you, you know, at 15 cents a minute, business during the middle of the day, call you from New York, and then I'll visit, I'll get on the plane, and I'll come sell you my widgets and present to you and take you for a big steak dinner and a cigar, or we'll meet in Vegas at the widget convention, right, or whatever, or we'll meet in the islands when we have the bonuses from our party, from our holiday event, from, you know, like there was all of that. And then fax machines came and it was like, well, I don't need to mail it anymore. I'll just fax it. And then email came and, well, I'll just email it. But there still is this part of connectivity and the humanity of it all that I've been really blessed, right? Like being this little Paul Revere guy where I've gotten to know guys like you through guys like Bill Cole. And then I get to know your people through you and the extended part of what I do. But if I were cooped up at home selling widgets and couldn't go out and actually talk to people, I think that that's a whole different level over the last 2 years, that fundamentally the way we sell, the way we present, and maybe level of expectations change. And you're right at the root of it, right? Because if offices are ever going to come back together, that's pretty much what you do at MI. Tell everybody what you do, because I mean, I don't want to portray it as I got a desk and I needed you, and I've preferred by far standing on a pad. It's been better for me physically. But you go through this with every office and individually every person, with every chair and every table, because it's much like a bed or the car we spend our time in. Like, this cockpit that I've created and this new thing that you, along with Mike Rosenfeld, by the way, I want to give a shout out to Web Connection and Mike, have created an incredible environment for me to work, but I got a different gig than what you really service, right?
Look, you know, what you have, what we got for you and what we get for our clients are tools to help them do what they do. Every situation, every decision-making team has a different set of goals. And so you ask a lot of questions and you find the right solutions amongst, you know, a tool bag of millions of different kinds of solutions that you have access to. And you put together the things that actually help your clients do what they do best. That's what it's about. So we're a tool in the process, and a lot of options and a lot of creative things we can do to help satisfy different requirements for different clients, whether it be the large offices or down to a home office. We got a lot of tools in the tool chest, but a lot of it comes down to what you individually are looking for, either for your space or for your office, your company's space, what your message is, what you want your culture to be, how you want to get people back to your office, what you need them doing in your office. All those things are part of the process we have to go through. We go through it with a team of professionals, not just MOI, you know, design firms, and general contractors, and all those folks, to make sure that we can actually do it, you know, well, on budget, on time. Supply chain, interesting challenges these days, probably never, you know, going to take a little while for that to come back. So it's all part of the picture of what we do. We do it all over the Mid-Atlantic.
What's the biggest widget missing from your life in regard to supply chain? As I wear my Fadley shirt and ship crab cakes, we had supply chain issues with crab in the summer, right? I mean, like, it's everything, but like chips that make stuff from Asia that run things. I mean, there's so many little issues, but I would think for you, products, right? I mean, all sorts of products that are created all around the world that make desks happen and make things work, right?
It's a 95% of what we sell is actually manufactured in the US. However, parts come from all over the place to do that. And so you've got, there isn't one thing. It's little things that prevent the big things from being 100% completed. So it could be hinges for a cabinet that prevent a cabinet from being able to be completed. It could be foam for a chair. It could be fabric for a tack board where someone's literally putting a picture of their family up in their office or whatever it may be.
You forget how much ish goes into every little, you know, how to make this shirt, this Fadley shirt I have, you know what I mean? Like, what goes into knitting a fabric and humans and machines, and then the transportation part, which I think all of us just sort of forgot. Oh, yeah, even Amazon has to get it there to get it here, right?
Yeah, and of course, the Amazons and the Walmarts of the world occupy a disproportionate share of the trucking and warehousing, which makes everybody else take a back seat. So those are just realities that you learn how to deal with. It's not easy. I think it's probably going to be with us throughout all of next year. And then, you know, maybe, who knows? My crystal ball is as foggy as anyone else's. It settles down a little bit in 23, but you deal with it. You know, there, believe it or not, there still are some things you can get very quickly. It's just, you know, it's a limited set of options. So we're fighting through it like everybody else.
Can you give me a play on the goal line that works? Can you do that, Dave?
We actually had a play that worked. We just didn't look for the right receiver. That's all.
David Knowles here from MOI. Tell everybody about your company and exactly what you do, because you said you've been in four cities and you sort of worked the 95 corridor. I mean, I think anybody driven up and down 95 has seen your offices. You work out of McHenry Row and you help people like me, but also people that have office space that may be going back into an office that may be ready for the next century instead of last century. I've moved some old office furniture out of the WNST studios lately, and I think it was manufactured. I would call it mid-century gauche is what I would call it from the and I mean last century, not this century.
Good. Yeah, no. So we're 160 professionals that have a variety of backgrounds, from design to project management to installation skills to consultative selling as to what the right solutions are. And we help clients. We work with clients directly and with their professional advisors, whether they be real estate brokers and professional project managers or design firms, to help people look at their options for space and what solutions they can put in space that makes sense, that they can get when they need them, and that will help, that will last and be environmentally friendly and do what they need to do in order to help their business move forward. We're physically located in Baltimore, Washington, Richmond, and Virginia Beach. We do work all over the country, and in one case, we have a client that's actually international, and we do work all over the world. Some of this is nonprofits, and some of these are, you know, professional service firms, the federal government, state and local county governments, all varieties of businesses. But we help put together solutions that, you know, help them have space where, you know, when it's safe, people want to come into, even if it's not for 40 hours a week, and help them build their cultures and their organizations to do what they do best.
Well, I am eternally grateful for the setup that we have here. I've shared the image. We're about to move the offices into a little bit more of a cavern space, which I'm looking forward to. And I'm going to get a proper green screen so my hair is not on fire, too. So we're going to pin that to the wall. So we're upgrading here at Baltimore Positive into 2022. David Knoll here, MOI. All right, so let's get off of work. Let's get off of office culture, and let's get on to football culture here, because you and I come at it honest here on the football side. I don't give people, many people, an opportunity to complain and fire the coach and bench the quarterback and all that, but it is a fascinating thing, and this has been 25 years of me doing this, Dave, that on the mornings after they lose, the amount of time, emotion, and energy that's spent in frustration and anger far supersedes what happens when they win 28-3 in any given week. And then they lose three in a row Christmas week, division opponents, lose to the Packers, lose on the goal line. It has been a fascinating soap opera for me. I mean, I'll just say that as a Ravens fan all these years, this has been as interesting a Ravens team in the way they've played. I don't know how it's going to go. They've already lost three in a row. They may lose out. They might not win again. I don't know if Lamar's going to get on the field. I know. I think I know they're not winning the Super Bowl. Like I think that, you know, I feel pretty confident that they can't do that. But what they can do the next couple of weeks and where the organization is with all these injuries and the resiliency, there is a little life lesson here that when the plague comes and things go bad and employees test positive and things look at their worst, you still come out and you play hard, even with your backup quarterback. And, you know, that's been good for me to watch the last month. I've sort of needed that, Dave.
Well, they're resilient, that's for sure. I don't know how many people walked into the stadium yesterday even hoping that they'd be able to win a game with less than a minute to go by, you know, potentially scoring one or two point
plays. They over-delivered and under-promised.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it does make you wonder. I mean, once again, it's a week-to-week thing, but if Green Bay was supposed to be the creme de la creme of the NFC, and we were able to hang in there, you never know, especially with as depleted as we were, you know, you never know. But
Arizona was the creme de la creme, but that was last week. And that this week is Kansas City, though, right? But 3 weeks ago, not so much. I mean, that's really where it's at. And the COVID thing, I mean, that could pop up at any point. And we got teams playing on Monday nights and Tuesday nights and moving games now. And I would think that that's going to happen holiday weekend. I would think there's going to be some Christmases wrecked around the NFL this week. They're changing the rule. Like, this could go in any direction because there's no great team anyway. Yeah, Kansas City's okay on any given day, but there is no great team. Anybody can win the tournament.
The difference between the greatest teams and the not so great teams is really like less than five plays a game. Like I could go back to yesterday and look at five distinct plays and say that's the difference in the game. And I think that, you know, that's why you get surprised. I mean, all of these guys are incredible athletes, you know, and even if you're on the Detroit Lions, you know, the athletes on that team are incredible. And, you know, the difference between winning and losing is so slim. And so it comes down to a lot of interesting things. But I was glad I went yesterday. I wasn't sure I was going to be excited to go. I was glad I went. I don't mind that we actually tried to win the game out. You know, that was a 50-50 for me. But at the end of the day, it was disappointing. And I'm not ready to call for firings. I don't think that's where we are at this point.
All the plays, you go throwing the ball at the goal line. I like it blows my mind when the ball hits the ground. I'm like, you should. And even if 2 weeks ago, the Pittsburgh game, TJ Watt gets into the hole and sort of busts the play up, and Lamar has an errant passes to lose games. Just it breaks my bones at the goal line, especially when you're a running team and you're set up to run and you're set up to spread them out and be faster than they are. I was disappointed with the outcome. David Knoll is here, but I'm not ready to fire the coach or bench the quarterback or tell the owner to sell the team, although he might be interested in that to begin with. David Knoll does all things office furniture and office culture. It's MOI. Tell me what MOI stands for, because I thought it was moi. I thought you were French when I met you. You did a brand,
I think. No French. Emma, we started in 1983 as Maryland Office Interiors. As we geographically expanded, it was really tough to run around in central Virginia as a company called Maryland Office Interiors, because they're all about Virginia Tech and UVA and all the things that go on down in that part of the world. So we decided that it would be better in terms of an expansion strategy. And we had basically assumed the abbreviations for MOI through that to keep the brand, but officially change the name to get the Maryland out, not because we're not from Maryland, but because we're selling all over the place.
No, I'm very, very self-centered. Ask anyone. So when I say I work with moi, you know, I mean, it's just, it's about me, myself, and moi, and my comfort level. So you really did help me. I mean, you know, because it really is personal when you work, you know, your office space and where you sit and how you sit and where you put your stuff. I think all of us, and you taught me the lesson of, hey, try teaching third grade at your kitchen table, right? For a week or two in a chair. I blew my back out. I mean, what you do is really, really important. And I think, people that have office space and manage lots of people understand that if you want to get 8, 9, 10, 11 overtime, extra time, quality time out of people, there's a real science about this, right?
There's a lot to it. You want to make sure your people are comfortable. You want to make sure the tools support what they're trying to do. And, you know, and I think employees, especially in a point in time where the talent wars are, have never been as strong and you know, fighting as for people as hard as it's ever been. You want to make sure that your people understand that you're committed to them. So you want to make sure you're giving them the right tools, and those tools can be in the office or at home to help them actually not come back at you and say, man, I've been sitting at the dining room table and my back hurts and my posture is bad and my ergonomics don't line up. My monitor is not adjustable. I can't see what I'm doing. All those things play into it. And, at a point in time where, you know, everyone's fighting to keep and attract the talent they need, you know, you better do everything right. It's not one thing. It's not just a check. It's not just benefits. It's everything. It's how you communicate with them. It's how you listen to them. It's the tools that you give them that show them that you're committed to helping them do the best they can for your organization. So there's a lot that goes into that psychology.
I knew I was in good hands when I checked into MOI and you guys got me tea before I sat down and tried to figure out how I was going to work all this out. Dave Nolan runs around McHenry Row. If you see him up and down 95, MOI is where to do it. Also Ravens guy, local guy. Crab cake guy. Yeah, you got a crab. I mean, we have not had a crab cake yet, you and I, right?
We haven't. I was waiting for an invitation, but you know, you seem like you were all over the place.
This way. I've been inviting you on a show for 3 months. Don't have at me, all right? Come on now. Hawaii's flooded 3 times since the last time I invited you on. Oh. Shout out to Brooke for making it happen. So happy 22 to you, and I hope we get together for a crab cake. I'm wearing my Fadley shirt. We were down there 2 weeks ago, and Fadley's is shipping. Costas is shipping. So by all means, if you're out there and you're licking your lips and thinking, where can I get a Maryland crab cake? It's a click away for the holidays. Make sure you're taking care of our sponsors, as well as the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery, soon to feature Dave Knoll from MOI. I'll get you out. We're going to be at Nacho Mama's to start the year in early January. You know where Canton is. Come on over, man.
All right. There you go. Sounds right. Good.
Hey, man, onward and upward. Happy holidays. Happy first of the year. And I'm glad we could spend a little time getting to hang out. And I'm really, really appreciative of the desk. The desk came in huge handy when I got the needles. When the back really blew out like 6 weeks ago, I couldn't have done the old desk. I would not be fine. I would be injuring myself every day. Sitting was injuring me. So you've given me the opportunity to heal. So for that, feel good about your holiday, Dave. All right?
I love it, man. Hey, happy holidays to you. Thanks for the time. It's always good to see you.
I am grateful. There he is, Dave Knoll. Find him at MOI, Maryland Office Interiors, but never about, well, it is about you or me or I.
It's about you.
Me. You. I don't know how to say you in, how do you say you in French? I learned croissant when I was over there. That's one thing I got to do is get back to Paris. They opened that new cheap Icelandic airline to steal my money again, so maybe we'll do that again. You can find me all week long. Luke's going to be out in Owings Mills despite the holiday week. It's all brought to you by Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. Free coffee on Christmas if you got the app. Get the app, download the app, you go to Royal Farms. And I love when they sent that to me, any size, because I'm thinking, They got really big cups there. They got like 24 ounces over there, foot soakers, to get some coffee on Christmas. You might need it around your relatives. Gas up and coffee up and chicken up with our friends at Royal Farms. Also featured in Baltimore Magazine. I had Max Weiss on this week, as well as Ron as well. So Ron Cassie came on. We talked a lot about a wild murder situation that is worth your time to read and listen to and check out at Baltimore Positive. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Try not to complain too much about the Ravens because it is the holidays. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.